Genesis chapter number 32 and verse number 24 tonight. And I want to go down through verse number 32. Genesis chapter number 32 and verse number 24. The Bible says here in my text, it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you this day that you're our God, and God, that you're no respecter of persons. God, I just want to thank you this day for the name of Jesus, and God, that you're our great high priest, and God, that you're able to be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. And Father, we cry out to you this day, Lord, realizing that without you, we're nothing. And God, I ask you this night to crucify my flesh. And God, I just pray that Jesus will be uplifted, and I thank you for your name and sanctify your name in my heart. And God, your name is above every name, and I thank you that your name is Emmanuel, God with us. And God, we just ask you, Lord, that we might recognize your presence and believe you by faith and touch you by faith. And God, I just ask you tonight by faith to do what I could never do, to produce spiritual fruit inside of our hearts. And God, I just pray this night that you would lift up your children, feed your children. God, give us more faith and help our unbelief. And God, forgive us, Lord, rebuke us of unbelief. And God, I just pray this day that you would help us to have a heart for you tonight. And God, that we would grow in you and love him. God, thanking you, Lord, for all that you're going to do. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray this night, Lord. Amen and amen. So thank you for praying. Thank you for praying with me tonight. Here in Genesis chapter 32, we read verse 24 through 32 here tonight. And as Jacob wrestles with God, and here in this text, Jacob has changed. His name has changed from Jacob to Israel. This is before the Old Testament dispensation. The Old Testament comes in Exodus chapter number 20 when God gives the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai. And sometimes this is referred to as the Old Testament because we preachers don't want to sit there and break down seven dispensations and so forth. But so this is before the Old Testament. It's during the age of the patriarchs. And during that dispensation, and so here he wrestles with God. And as I read this text, and the reason why I say that to you this evening is because this is the New Testament equivalent of being filled with the Spirit of God. And I believe in being filled with the Spirit of God. I believe in that the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You remember the Apostle Paul? He had a great wrestling match himself in Romans chapter number 7. And if you take Romans chapter number 8, Romans chapter number 8 is the great Spirit-filled chapter of the book of Romans. And you find God's Spirit named over and over again in that chapter. And Romans chapter number 7, you find Paul wrestling, and the good I don't want to do, I do, and the good I want to do, I don't do. And in that text, the great apostle says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And if you're going to be filled with God's Spirit, and if I'm going to be filled with God's Spirit, you must believe by faith tonight, and I must believe by faith tonight, that in my flesh is no good thing. And that makes it necessary for me to be filled with God's Spirit. You don't have to go out and commit awful sins, for you to believe that there's nothing good in you. You don't have to go out and do all kinds of ungodly things. All you need to do is believe what the Word of God says about you. That's all you got to do. You know, I think sometimes, you know, people say they that are forgiven of much love much. You don't have to go out and commit great sins to be a great Christian. You just got to believe what the Word of God says about you, and that'll make you a great Christian. Just believe it. I mean, I think sometimes people have a hard time believing it because they think they're pretty good. But if you just believe the Word of God and take God at His Word, and God will work in your heart and work in your life, and you'll love much. You can be raised in church and raised in a Christian home, and you can love much because you're a great sinner. Because the Bible said so. You're a great sinner no matter where you came from because God said so. I'm not sizing you up. That's just what God says about all of us. Amen. The number one thing that keeps people from being filled with God's Spirit is blame. Blame. Right? I like to say this. I like to share this a lot. I haven't talked to Dr. Ennis and asked him before I say this, but I'm going to step out on a limb because I know people pretty well. But I'll guarantee you, and I'll say to you tonight, that not one person that's ever quit this church ever called the pastor and said, "Pastor, I quit church because I'm wicked." People don't do that. People don't do it. People don't do it. Because people who believe that their flesh is wicked, they'd be here tonight. One thing that'll keep you from being faithful to God is that you'll blame someone else for your sin and for your sin nature. And I've seen this in the ministry, and I saw it in the mission work, and I would watch as a husband would blame a wife for his lack of walking with God, for his lack of being filled with God's Spirit. And wives will blame their husbands for their lack of a walk with God, and children blame their parents, and parents blame their children. And the whole time, nobody's walking with God. Because everybody's blaming somebody other than themselves. And it's not until God says, "What is your name?" Jacob. And as soon as Jacob says in this text, "My name is Jacob," at that very moment, he's saying, "In my flesh there is no good thing," because that's what his name means. His name means trickster, deceiver. When Jacob's wrestling with God, and he says, "God bless me, God bless me." When he's wrestling with God, God says, "What is your name? What is your name?" God's getting him to come to this place where he's going to have to confess that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, and all to be filled with God's Spirit. This flesh is wicked, and every time you try to do right, and if you try to live for God, you're going to know it. And if you don't know it, you've never tried to live for God. You try to do something God wants you to do, and you'll find out that your flesh is wicked. Try to pray for an hour. Try to pass out gospel tracts. And start laboring for the Lord, and you're going to find out you're in a war that you never knew existed. And so we're in this war, and here Jacob wrestles with God. From this day forward, Jacob walks with God. I was there because there's a limp in his life. His name has changed to Israel, this prince with God. And you know, when I began to read and I began to pray a little over a year ago, and I'd say, "God, I want to walk with you, but what does it mean to walk with you?" And God gave me this text, and God began to burn it inside of me. And God would say, "Listen, if you're going to walk with me, there must be a change in your life to where you're never strong again." And the reason people are not filled with God's Spirit, and the reason people don't walk with God, is because they are strong. Jacob, you got to be made weak. I've got to touch your thigh. Because if you can walk in your power, you won't need me. You're going to have to limp. You remember Jacob? Oh, that if you're saved here this night and you have a personal relationship with God, that you would desire in your heart to die right with God. Jacob died in faith, leaning upon his staff, Because God so fixed him that he could never go back. And that's what we need. We need a revival, but we need more than a week's worth, and we need more than a month's worth. We need a revival that changes us until the day that we're dead. That's what we need. We need God to touch our thigh. Now, I was told this one time, and I remember I was talking to a preacher recently, and he said the average preacher never reaches, well, he doesn't usually reach maturity until he's about 40 years old. And when the preacher said that, I began to think I've grown up in church and just seen people's lives and watched my dad's life and watched other. And I began to think, I think that's true of the average Christian, not just the preacher. You'll watch people and they're in church, but they're just too strong. They're not walking with God. I mean, they're there with you. And they're saved. But there's just a strength there that's keeping them from the power of God. There's just a strength in their life they're relying upon, and it's because they've not been made weak. And only God and His sovereignty can work in that person's life to bring them to that place to where they're going to walk with God from that day forward. That's going to take a work of God. And they're saved people. And they've grown up in church and they got saved when they're a child or they got saved as an adult and they just know how to live the Christian life. And knowing how to live the Christian life is what's gotten them in trouble. Here you see Jacob as a third generation Christian, and being this third generation Christian, his grandfather was Abraham and his father was Isaac. And if you'll remember that Jacob there, he vows to the mighty God there in Genesis chapter number 28. In Genesis chapter number 28, the Bible says in verse number 19, and he called the name of that place Bethel, which is the house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. And then when you go to chapter number 29, all the way through our text in chapter number 32, Jacob spends 20 years out of God's will. See, that vow there at Bethel didn't do a whole lot for him because he spent 20 years out of God's will. Do you know why it didn't do a lot for him? Because he didn't surrender to God in that text. Do you see what he said? Jacob did not surrender to God in that text. Jacob says, God, if you'll be good to me. That's what he says. Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me, and if God will be with me, and if God will keep me, and if God will do this, then I'll serve you. And that didn't last long, did it? You ever see? That's what you call fair weather Christians. And that's the source of it right there. That's the source of it. God, if you do this, then I'll do that. You ever think in your mind, and I used to think in my mind as I would wrestle with God, and I'd ask God lots of questions. I've asked God a lot of questions. I read texts. Boy, I ask every text I read, Lord, help me understand that. I don't understand. I believe God, I believe you wrote every word of it, but I might be struggling with understanding some of it. Just because I'm struggling with understanding it, it doesn't mean I don't believe God wrote it. I believe God wrote every bit of it. I sit there and there's things in this book, and this is a spiritual book, and there's things that I have a hard time rightly dividing. But I believe it. And here, as I look at this book and I read this book and I say, God, what is the difference between Joseph? And what is the difference between Joseph and Jacob in his younger years and a character like Job? What is the difference in those men? Because those men have a different level of Christianity. It's different. There's something different about them. I mean, there's Christians and then there's Christians. And there's just something different about them. They got a touch of God. There's something different about them. And that one that has a touch of God on their life, and what makes them different? And God began to work in my heart, and God says to me, the difference in Joseph and Jacob here, at least in Jacob's early life, you see, Jacob knows how to rejoice over things that happen in life. And if you know how to rejoice over things that happen in life, you're going to be pretty sad a whole lot. But Joseph knows how to rejoice in who God is. And that's what makes them different. That's what makes them different. You see, God never changes. And God's always good. He is the God that never changes, immutable. And in that, He's always good. And so ask Joseph, say, Joseph, you just got sold by your brothers into slavery. What do you think about God? And Joseph would say, God is good. God is good. How do you say that, Joseph? By faith. I just believe it. I just believe it. Well, what do the just live? By faith. The just don't live by sight. If you'd have looked at Joseph's life and you'd have said, you just got sold by your brothers into slavery and you got lied on in Potiphar's house and you've spent years in prison for a crime that you did not commit, and you would look at him and the only thing that you and I can see in that is bad and negative and nothing good whatsoever. But he loved God. He loved God. Listen now, he didn't love what God allowed to happen in his life. He loved God. And there's a difference. There's a difference. You don't have to love what happened in your life. But God wants you to love Him. You don't have to rejoice in what happened. You rejoice in God who never changes. God never changes. There's lots in this world that I don't want to rejoice in. There's lots in this world that I refuse to get excited about and to enjoy. But I want to enjoy God and believe God in those things. God's good. Here's what you do. Fix your heart and your mind on God. That's and stand in awe of Him. And that's worship. God is the I am that I am, the self-existing God. And He is the God that provides. I am that I am that provides in Genesis when He offers up. He is the I am that I am, my peace. In the book of Judges, He is the I am that I am that healeth thee in Exodus, where Moses takes that tree and throws it into the bitter water, and that water becomes sweet. And God is the, Jehovah means I am that I am. God is the one that heals, the self-existing God that heals. God is, in Leviticus, the sanctifier. I am that I am, the sanctifier. This is not what God, yes, God does those things, but this is who God is. God is the one who heals, and God is self-existing, and God is, in Jeremiah chapter number 23, He is I am that I am, my righteousness. And basically, He is the I am that I am, my shepherd in Psalm 23. This is who God is, and I thank You, God, that You are my righteousness, and I thank You, God, that You're self-existing, and I praise You, and I lift up my hands to You, and I thank You, God, for everything that You are. And that's what kept Joseph, and that's what made Joseph, and that's why he was different from Jacob. Because Jacob could not enjoy God for who He was. In other words, God was like a Santa Claus to him. And God is like a Santa Claus to the average Baptist church member. And that's the reason why whenever you don't have, when people don't have money in the bank account, they're not able to rejoice because they've not learned to rejoice in who God is. But when you don't have money and you don't have health and everything's against you, you can worship God and lift up your hands and say, I love You, Jesus. You never change. And that's the difference in those that have that touch of God on their life, and those, that's a different Christian. They're different. And why are they different? Because they love God. Look, if you won the lottery and you got excited about it, now you shouldn't be playing the lottery. Don't misunderstand me. If you're a Christian, if you're going to be Christ-like, anybody can understand you're getting excited about winning $1 million. Who can't? Who can't? And when good things happen in our lives and even in the spiritual world, and I'm not saying you should not get excited over those things. I was mentioning my great uncle here, and I like to use him here as an illustration. And I didn't know this, but his tombstone there says he walked with God. That's what it says. James Carter. That's what it says. God used him to go up there and start that Grace Baptist Church there in Oxford. And when he was up there at some time, and in the process of time, his wife left him. And when his wife left him, he lost his ministry, and he stepped down from pastoring. And he became a member there of Riverside Baptist Church in Durham. And I remember as a young kid going to Riverside Baptist Church, and I looked up there to the front. And the choir was singing a song, and there was a man up there with his hands lifted up towards God, praising God. It was my great uncle. It was my great uncle. It was the one that didn't have much money in the bank, and it was the one that if you looked at his life, the doctors gave him 6 months to live. He was the one that was rejoicing in who God was. And that's what made him different from the average church member in a Baptist church. You've got to learn how to love God for who He is. And you can't learn how to love Him for who He is if you don't study Him. Theology. Studying God. You got to know Him before you can love Him. Know Him and surrender your heart to Him and love Him. I remember one time, listen, I think it's the fifth psalm that says, let those that put their trust in Him shout for joy. I remember one time there was a gentleman in the church that I grew up in. His name was Luther Grooms. And our church was quiet for the most time. But if we had one that would shout, it'd be Luther. I remember singing. We went over there for Christmas carols. Luther Grooms had about 24 hours to live. Hospice was in. He's eat up with cancer. And we sang that song, What a Day That Will Be. When my Jesus I shall see, and He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Less than 100 pounds of a man reached his arm up from his bed towards heaven. And he took a deep breath with all that he had, and he exhaled that breath, and he said, "Woo," just like that. And friend, whenever, and I don't know how you'll die, and I don't know how I'll die, but I'm telling you, I watched a man with 24 hours left in his life, and he shouted the victory there on his deathbed, friend. And what he had in his heart was real, and it was different from what this world has and what a lot of people have. And friend, you can have it when you rejoice in who God is. Rejoice in who God is. Rejoice in Him. God wants you. Now, if you're saved, you're indwelt by God's Spirit. No doubt about it. But just because you're indwelt with God's Spirit, it does not mean that you're filled with the Spirit. It does not mean that you're walking with God. To be filled with God's Spirit means to be controlled by God's Spirit. And it's a daily thing. It's going to be a daily battle. But to continually seek God, to be controlled by His Spirit by faith. And I want to say to you tonight that there's not but one thing that can fill you with God's Spirit. And that's faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. And faith is expressed in prayer. Romans chapter number 8 says that by by the Spirit of God, we mortify, put to death, the deeds of the flesh. Just live by faith. What I'm saying is that I can do everything in the Christian life that there is to do without looking to Jesus to crucify my flesh. And if I do that, I've missed the most important thing after salvation, being controlled by God's Spirit. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You're not going to do that without touching Jesus every day by faith to fill you with His Spirit. The Bible says for wives to be obedient to their husbands. You're not going to do that if you're not saved, and you're not going to do that if you're not touching Jesus every day by faith to fill you with His Spirit. It's not going to happen. You can try to obey every part of this book. You can try to obey the Bible, but it's not going to happen if you're not trusting Jesus every day for His Spirit to control you, to crucify, to put to death the deeds of this flesh. What He says, what is your name? And that's not going to happen until you say, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. There's not the ability to do what's right. I must be made right on the inside. And that only happens when you look to God by faith. Jacob says, and I'm going to finish with this last thought here. Jacob says, bless me. Wrestles with God, bless me. And you ought to ask God to bless you. But you need to think about this tonight. What does God want from you? What does God want from you? What does God want from you? God wants obedience, but that's not everything He wants. God wants you. Listen to what God wants. Jesus Christ says in John chapter 15, henceforth I call you not servants, but friends. You want to walk with God? God wants a friend. Abraham was called the friend of God. God wants a friend. God wants you. That's what God wants tonight. And you can say, God bless me. But do you love Him? And would you walk with Him? And do you want to be with Him? Paul says in Philippians 3:10 that I might know Him. That was the desire of his heart. That I might know Him. And when you love God, you want to be with God. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. I want to know Him to the point to where if it means suffering is not something I want to do, but I prefer knowing Him to the point to where I'm willing to suffer to know Him. Whenever you surrender to God, you're surrendering to suffering. I don't know if you know that or not, but you're surrendering to that. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and Jesus Christ was rejected, and Jesus Christ was alone, and God wants you to know Him. And when you know Him and you pursue Him, you're going to experience rejection. You're going to experience loneliness, and you're going to experience everything that Jesus experienced. Because you want to know Him, and you surrender to know Him. And God's got ways of making that happen. In your life and in my life, God wants a friend. Listen, God blesses weakness, not strength. Paul prayed 3 times, Lord, please remove this thorn from my flesh. And God says to Paul, my grace is made perfect in weakness. You're better with it. You're better with it. You're better with that suffering. And just surrender your heart to me and let me know that that's what God said. Now thank God when God does remove it. You remember Hannah, her womb was weak and it could not bear a child. And in her weakness she looked to God in faith and she cried out to God in faith. And God brought forth a Samuel. And God took those Macedonian churches that were not poor, but the Bible says they were in deep poverty. He says to the Corinthians, I do you to wit to see of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of God of Macedonia, those weak churches God used to support missionaries all around the world, because in their weakness they looked to God in faith. And from Genesis to Revelation, you always find that God blesses weakness when it looks to God in faith. That's when God begins to work. And whenever you find people that are strong, God turns away from them. What was wrong with the Laodiceans? They were strong, rich and increased with goods. They had need of nothing. Why did Peter curse and deny the Lord three times? Because he was strong. And when Jesus was there, restored him, he says, "When thou wast young, thou walkest whither thou wouldest." Why would he do that? Because he was strong. A strong man walks wherever he wants to go. "When thou wast young, thou walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." When you're weak, then you'll die for me. When you're weak, then you'll die the martyr's death. When you can't do it and you look to me in faith, then I'll do it. Then I'll do it through you. From Genesis to Revelation, God. And what's wrong with Jacob? What's wrong with Jacob? "Jacob, you're too strong. I want to bless you, but I'm going to have to hurt you." In other words, I'm going to have to touch your thigh. Because I'll bless you, Jacob. I'll give you everything you want, but you won't love me until I inflict some pain on you. You won't understand, because the flesh is wicked, and that's why it must be so. Because my flesh and your flesh is wicked, and God must allow us to suffer so that we can know Him. It's part of knowing God. Do you want to know Him tonight? I hope you want to know Him. Are you saved tonight? Are you walking with God? You're not born walking with God. You're not born again walking with God. You're going to have to learn how to walk with God. And some things are going to have to happen in your life to bring you to that place of walking with God. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And I just want to pray this night that your word would bear forth fruit, and God, that it would fall on good ground. I pray tonight for every young person that they would look to you by faith, to be filled with your Spirit every day. God, for everything in this life, I pray for every elderly person, and God, that we might know our need, and God, that we might realize our weakness, that without you we can do nothing. Help us tonight that we might bear fruit. Father, I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.